Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast, the double Hail Mary edition of the Bears Podcast. Joining me, as always, are the Mike Pease, Mike Pusateri, and Mike Prasdowski. Guys, how are you?
Doing good. Glad to be here on this religious occasion.
Yeah. How many days are there until spring training?
I don't know how many days are until spring training, but I'm just counting down to the Cub convention. That's when the real excitement happens. Come on. Yes. Good timing on that email. Do you think it seems like if they're trying to have people buy these for like Christmas presents, that maybe they should have been on sale like 2 weeks ago,
right, on Black Friday or something like that.
Otherwise, if you're holding them, maybe wait till something actually happens, or maybe nothing is going to happen. And they talk to Jed, and it's like, fuck it, just put it out.
He's like, yeah,
we're not waiting for anything. Just put the things out.
Oof! What a I read your write up today. It sounds like quite the weekend of festivities.
Great. I can't wait. I'm going down just to watch Ian Happ's podcast.
Yes.
Now, last year Marquee, you could watch the whole convention on Marquee, and I watched a lot more of it than I had any intention to watch. Not because it was so riveting, but because it was so bad, I just couldn't stop. You know, I saw a lot of Prevagen ads, so.
Yeah.
But that hour podcast with Hap and those guys was the dullest fucking thing ever. I mean, it makes the Ryan Dempster yuck fest on Friday night look like Carson in his prime.
Yeah. You know, well,
how bad Ian Hap is. he has no charisma at all.
No.
And it just, it's that whole thing just like hangs there. I mean, it's not like this podcast. I mean, this guy's people can't get enough of this.
We're
just oozing with charisma.
I know,
and other fluids.
Yeah.
But I will. They could put this on the poster. Mm-hmm. This podcast significantly better than the Compound.
Right. We'd have the after.
You can quote me on it.
We have like after, and then the comp will have before, and then
Well, the Bears did it again.
They did it again.
Third time this year, they had a 10-point or greater lead in the fourth quarter and went on to lose. Kevin Fishbane did the math, and they are only the fourth team this century to have four sacks and a defensive touchdown in a game and lose it. So
impressive.
Congratulations.
Making history for all the wrong reasons.
But it sucks, but this is, hey, look, they seem like they're better and more losses. Just what we want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Throw another loss on the fire. How do we know they're not throwing these, and they're just really good at it.
Hey, maybe they feel they needed to because Carolina won yesterday too.
Falcons! Sunday, holy shit! Desmond Ridder got benched. He should be. I'm not going to get into hyperbole, so I'll just say he should be executed.
Good.
I didn't want to do anything drastic, so I muted. I pulled way back on what I was going to say. We don't tar and feather people anymore. Just a good, get double tap and it's fine. No. So I have, especially for the morning games, got the Bear game on TV one. I got the Red Zone. Bear game on TV one. Red Zone channel on TV two. The projector. I have a projection screen down here too. That has the other morning games, the other noon game. Red Zone is never going to Atlanta and Carolina because they're never in the red zone. Occasionally they would show, I think just to amuse themselves how hard it was raining. They would go, like, look how miserable all nine Panthers fans are. So I had kind of lost track of the game. I was just riveted by the Bears. Look at this. I look up and it's 7-3 Atlanta in the fourth quarter. I'm like, how are you only beating the Panthers 7-3 in the fourth quarter? But never fear, the Falcons are driving. All they got to do, if they just kick a field goal, they're in good shape. They'll be fine. Or was it 7-3?
That's what you said, I thought. Didn't you say 7-3?
9-7, maybe.
Okay.
I forget what it ended up, because Eddie Pinheiro kicked a field goal and they won. Whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
I'm watching and going, oh, good. If the Falcons at least get a field goal, they'll be in good shape. I knew that from watching. Yeah. First down, it's like 1st-10 from the Panthers, 12. Desmond Ridder drops back, rolls out, throws a interception right to a Panther. Exactly. On first down in the red zone when all you need is a field goal.
Yeah. Just take three knees and you're good.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't that worried about it, except for the fact then that Matt Clapp on Twitter has been updating the fact that somehow the Patriots' strength of schedule is like taking a nosedive. The Cardinals still in good shape.
Oh. Okay.
If the Cardinals and Panthers are tied, Panthers get the tiebreaker, Bears get the pick. But now, Clapp claims that during the afternoon games, he had some kind of live thing showing, kind of like a live look at the things. It was shifting between the two. And then last night, he's like, oh, that's okay. One thing that would really help this would be the Eagles just need to beat the Seahawks because that'll help. that will improve it'll make the strength of schedule harder for the Panthers, which is what we want, easier for the Pats. And of course, pulls a fucking touchdown pass out of his ass.
Well, I was going to say, speaking about throwing an unnecessary pass at the end of the game.
Yeah, there you go. Good tie-in.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, so last week, everything that could have happened good for the Bears happened. They won, they played well. All the teams needed to lose, lost. This week, no. Mm-hmm. Exactly the opposite. Except the Packers got their ass kicked by the Falcons. So that made it good. Yeah. So, there was a stat. Only two players have ever had a perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field.
Oh, it was the Bucks, not the Falcons.
The Bucks. Did I say the Falcons?
The Falcons lost to the Panthers.
Yes. Tampa went to Green Bay and slapped them around. Only two players in NFL history with a perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field: Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield. Baker was amazing in that game. I mean, he couldn't miss. Attaboy.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Might be playing himself into a new contract down there.
That apparently is another thing that could work against the Bears. That Falcons loss now has them drop them below the Bucks. And if Tampa can clinch the division before the final week, then Tampa plays the Panthers in the final game. So they might not be playing for anything, which the Panthers might win that game. If the Bucks need to win, they're going to beat the Panthers. If they don't need to beat them, who knows?
So you're telling me that week 17 against the Falcons is must-lose for the Bears, then?
I'm so confused. But if that's what you're telling me, that I can follow.
Yeah. They should probably lose this week, too.
That would help.
To be on the safe side.
It might as well, yeah.
And then just lose those two, and then you could beat the Packers in the last game. That'd be fine. Just to, you know, send us off in the off season on a high.
This is like every season growing up as a kid before the Bears hired Ditka. It was just, we're cheering for the draft pick every single year. Yeah. I thought those days had ended a long time ago, but oh no.
It keeps it riveting to the final. Yeah,
it sure does.
Now the most tragic thing about the loss was now the Bears have fallen off the in the hunt graphic.
Yes. Terrible.
Oh, what a great like 36 hours they had on the end of the graphic.
Right.
Well, do we get a they get can they raise a flag to that? Put up like, you know,
made it in the hunt into December.
Yeah. Right. December 2023 in the hunt. Why not?
They can have a dual ceremony with the Cubs, where the Cubs hang their fifth best record in the National League back to back second halves. Yeah. And then the Bears have in the hunt. And they can actually put like
they could probably go back to back too. But they're probably in the hunt in December last year.
Oh, I don't think so. Ah,
no. Never once.
Not when their last win was in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If there was an early October graphic, they might have been on it when they were 3-6 or whatever before they finished 3-14.
Hey, a guy can dream.
Oh, well. Packers fell off Packers, I guess, are in the hunt. The Giants fell off the in the hunt.
There's like two teams or three teams that aren't on the damn graphic.
They were 13 of the 16 NFC teams were on it.
Well, the Packers going in the last night Seahawks-Eagles game, were they in a playoff spot and the Seahawks knocked them out of it? At least there's a silver lining there with the Seahawks
maybe.
Winning.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with the exciting game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Except for this. Now, Justin made history. He's first quarterback since Brad Johnson to throw an interception on the final play of each half.
Now, that'll be reversed. The one in the first.
Right. That's what Kevin Kugler said. They can actually go back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And take the first one. Because I think I clearly didn't catch that.
Right. Right.
So I have a question for you guys about the second Hail Mary. When it bounced,
I think
off,
I know where you're going with
when
this.
It bounced off Mooney's chest and he tried to kick it to himself, and he caught it. Would that have been legal or would have been illegal touching? Are you allowed to kick the ball to yourself? Now that would have been the perfect way for that game to end, with him catching it and the Bears jumping up and down, and the refs just throwing a flag, and then they have to do it again because that's what happened. They would have, but I don't know. It didn't look intentional, but then he said he did it on purpose.
Right.
He goes, I saw the ball bounce away. I just tried to kick it back to myself, and I kicked it to that guy.
By the way,
if he did catch it, though, he probably doesn't admit that.
No.
You're right.
I would think that, like, do you guys remember, like, the crazy Julian Edelman catch in the 28-3 Super Bowl, like, on the Patriots' final drive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did he not kick it back in the process of making that catch as well? Because I would think if that counts.
Yeah.
Than the Darnell Mooney catch. Would
they didn't talk.
I would think
when they showed all the replays, nobody talked about that. So maybe it's not a thing. But
I think if it hit off his foot first, then maybe it'd be a
legal. I just think you're not supposed to intentionally kick at the ball.
Yeah, but
you're right.
That didn't
kind of thing. Are they? He said he did, but he may have just been trying to. You know.
Well, yeah, he's certainly not going to run up to the ref and go, "I see what I did, pal. I did that on purpose."
He should have been glad that he was the guy in that last one, so that after the game, everyone want to talk to him about that instead of about him just completely not bothering to block on the 4th-and-1 that would have been the first down that probably would have won the game.
Probably would have,
yeah. Hey, had to be a huge relief for Robert Tonyan though. Erased his drop earlier in the game. Jesus.
That's one of the worst I've ever seen.
That like, really was.
It's not even like he didn't even have to break stride. You know, I could see kind of like, well, if you got to make an adjustment. And you kind of lose the ball or whatever. That thing just like fell into his hand. Justin basically threw it and caught it for him. And he still dropped it.
Right.
He still dropped it. And that would have been, if not a touchdown, obviously it would have been in a huge game.
Yeah, I think even with him running, it was a touchdown. Because you kind of saw the Browns defensive back. It's kind of, he's kind of like lunging at the last minute. So he's in no, if Tonyan catches it and is running, that guy's not going to be able to like gather himself and chase him down.
Different game. Different game.
Nice. And it just, the whole, all the stats were amazing to me. Like the Bears defense played really well. They gave up like 300 yards in the fourth quarter. They gave up, well, not quite 300. They gave up 212 yards passing in the fourth quarter. Joe Flacco threw for more yards in the fourth quarter than Justin threw in the whole game.
Yeah.
The
aforementioned Tonyan didn't help Fields there, but yeah.
Yeah. I didn't understand the call, the blitz on the, and the play that the conversion to Njoku that set up the field goal, where you blitz I guess Edmonds faked a blitz, but Brisker blitzed and Gordon blitzed, requiring Justin Jones to follow the tight end, who was their primary target the whole fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Now I know the whole idea there is with the two guys blitzing, they're supposed to get to the quarterback before he can make that throw, and they didn't. But once they don't get there, then you're fucked. And it would have been nice, Tyreek Stevenson, who had that, his interception was, and that got spoiled for me on Twitter. His interception was incredible.
Yeah.
His tackle on Njoku, not so good. Because he could have stopped it just short of the first down. He just bounces. I know Njoku's huge, but he bounced right off of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the muffed punt,
you just turn the game off in disgust.
No, I'm like, oh, fuck. And so I'm tweeting something sarcastic, or you know, but I look and I see Adam Johns has tweeted, "Incredible interception by Stevenson." I'm like, what?
Huh.
I look up and there it happens. When, at least on my setup, I have Comcast, the local broadcast is way behind. Like, I have to pause. Red Zone's a little bit behind. Obviously, you know, it has to go up to the satellite. It has to come back here, cram it into your house through the cable, all that stuff. I have to pause Red Zone a little bit so that I want Red Zone to be behind. I don't want to be spoiled just looking over. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
But there's probably a good 10-second delay between it happening in Cleveland and me seeing it.
What?
And so, fucking Johns. I know Brad Biggs knows that happens, and he's likes nothing more than to like immediately tweet out whether a field goal is good or not. So I learned over time, don't bother to refresh. If you want some drama with your field goals, do not refresh Twitter till after it's been kicked. Well, but it's Cairo. I know he's going to make it.
Right.
So there's no drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a great play. And the Browns couldn't run the ball at all.
And yeah.
I still have nightmares of that. Amari Cooper, the 51-yard touchdown run. It's like it took him 8 minutes to score, and nobody could catch it.
Yeah, nobody could get him.
It's like, guys, he's over there. Come on. He's still running. Just chase him.
Yeah. Kyler, Jaquan, get on your horse, guys. Go chase him down.
So maybe, I think I figured it out. That was the thing. It's the Bears are like, oh, here's what we're going to do, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to dominate these games for three quarters. We're going to prove we get dominated. Then we're just going to let them win.
Okay.
It's all part of the big picture.
Sure. There you go.
Right, so I'm sure that's what it was.
Blue's trying to hang on to the DC coordinator job, at least. Maybe. You know, we talked about that on this podcast a couple of weeks ago. That seems to be all the rage now. People are all of a sudden are coming in. Are like, well, what if Flew stays under DC? Well, should have listened to this podcast a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Press tell your friend.
Yeah. We know that's where they got it. They just won't give us credit.
Right. They listen to this podcast. They just don't know how to pronounce my last name when they look
at it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they think it's Krzyzewski.
Yes. Like Coach K.
Like Coach K. Yeah. Mike Prashevsky. You listen to Prashevsky?
Yeah, Prashevsky.
He got some pretty good stuff to say. Yeah, what he was saying. And the other guy, the Italian guy, he was saying that the Flus will just stay and be the defensive coordinator, and they got to pay him anyway. That's perfect.
That guy, Puscatano, is his name.
Puscatano. But, alas. And Fox had the graphic, right, about all the things that had to happen, even if the Bears won out, for them to make the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a Chinese
Giants win over the Eagles.
Pick two of these, and one from here, and two from this column, and if all that happens, the Bears are on their way to wherever. I don't know who they would have. I don't know who they'd play. They play the division winner with the worst record. I guess they'd play this NFC South. They probably would win.
Probably win.
But we'll never know. Yeah. Dash my dreams of the greatest improbable run to the Super Bowl in history. Better than Vince Ferragamo and the Rams.
Oh. That was a blast.
That was cool.
What would you guys?
I was going to say, that's quite an NFC title game. The Bucks and Vince Ferragamo Rams. But the ratings were outstanding.
Yeah, right. What would you guys think of? No worries. What would you guys think about, like, you do want to keep Eberflus in some capacity in the dream scenario. Maybe you can't fire him completely as head coach, but having Poles have the autonomy to hire his own offensive coordinator. Say, you know, if Eric Bieniemy leaves from Washington, assuming that whole coaching staff gets fired.
I think you can assume
that. He has a connection. What's that?
I think you can assume that. That the DC guys are all whacked.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he has a connection with Bieniemy from Kansas City.
How about are you asking if there's a scenario where Flus stays on as head coach?
Right, but the OC is fully under Ryan Poles hire, not an Eberflus decision.
How about this? How about we go College of Coaches?
Oh no!
we just rotate. We got the Flus 1 week. Then so we look. This is a team with a good offense. We're gonna Flus. We need a defensive head coach this week. You're the head coach. Eric Bieniemy can be the offensive coordinator, and Alan Williams went through porn rehab and he's ready to go. He's the defensive coordinator this week, and we just rotate him through. It'll be great. And then every Monday they can announce who's going to be the coach that week.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see how it could fail. When has an idea like that ever not worked in Chicago?
Maybe they could list them as like questionable. You know, like Flus is questionable.
So all the coaches are questionable.
I don't know why they wouldn't do that now that we said it.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be all over. That'll be on Spiegel and Parkins tomorrow.
Yeah.
Uncredited.
Yeah.
You know, Danny, I got a great idea. It came to me last night while I was writing a tribute song. How about this? Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's, I know our good friend Dave Kaplan has thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Everybody's gone.
Yeah. Everybody's gone.
And I still don't know what they're, who's out, who's not. I mean, I would think that the Flus is done, but these are the Bears.
Yeah, well, the scariest thing is they don't seem to know yet. Like, they should know.
Well, they probably do. I think they know. I think they know what they're going to do. I mean, I get a little tired of this whole idea that Ryan Poles isn't any good at his job, because he kind of seems like he is, right? Like, I was looking of the 20 guys he's drafted. 17 of them are still on the Bears roster. Now, admittedly, the Bears need guys on that roster,
right?
But these are guys who actually a lot of them are important guys. Like Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, Braxton Jones, their punter, the great Trenton Gill.
Yep.
Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Javon Dexter, Roshan, Tyler Scott, you know, this, especially that first year when he didn't have, he was having to trade down just to get picks because they left him with so few. The fact that there's guys that are actually useful. And then there's this idea that, who are the two, I knew it was bad when I saw you and Chuck tweeting at each other today, Mike.
I saw that.
He immediately jumps to the, the Chase Cesspool trade was terrible. Yes. Yes, it was terrible. The Velus Jones trade, that was an awful draft pick. That was not a good, this should be the end of Velus. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But the whole thing, he made a terrible trade. Who are the two best players on the Bears right now?
Oh, it's Montez Sweat
and Jalen Johnson.
No, and DJ Moore.
Well, or DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Two guys he traded for.
Right.
So, I know that we tie him and the Flus together. But they're not. The Flus works for him. And I don't know how much longer he's going to.
Right.
The one thing we won't know, because they won't tell us, is what was the vision for Matt Eberflus? Like, was he the Ricky Renteria of, we've got a team with a shitty culture, because they did. Mm-hmm. They had a shitty culture under John Fox, and then it was only good for one year they won under Nagy, it was good because they were winning. And then it was right back to shit again. We got a lot of shit to clean up. Here's a guy that will bring in his wonderful hits principle and get them in their tennis shoes. And after a couple of years, we'll have this shit straightened out. And then either he proves he can coach, or we go get the coach who's supposed to be the one who wins games. I kind of think that was the plan.
I don't know that they had a plan, honestly. I think you're just giving them a lot of credit. I think they could look. They might be able to say it.
Any credit? When you say that? Well, I don't think they had a plan. You don't think he had a plan? Everybody has a plan, even if it's a bad one. At least they've got a plan.
I think he hired Flew so quickly, and it was kind of like, hey, our great committee already interviewed a bunch of head coaches. I mean, he hired him like the day after he got the job. Something like that. I mean, so no, I don't think there was a lot of thought into it. I think it was like, okay, let's roll with this guy.
I still think that was more of McCaskey reaching out to Bill Polian and saying, here's my guy hire.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Then it was really Poles' decision.
Well, what do you want to hire, Ryan? Well, gee, George, I don't know. Well, I kind of like this guy. You like this guy? Yeah, he's a good guy.
I don't know. I don't see him as a guy who is going to take a job that he can't make that decision. Like, he was going to be a GM at some point. He didn't have to. If this was going to be forced on his throat, he didn't have to take it. And you saw it with a guy who works for him, Ian Cunningham, who got offered the job in Arizona and said, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. No, my thing with Paul is I think he's a replacement level GM. I think he's okay. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's terrible. I think this though. I think if they decide to stick with Fields, they go into next year, they trade the number one overall pick, get a haul for it, draft Marvin Harrison Jr. If you go into your offense next year with Justin Fields, DJ Moore, and Marvin Harrison Jr., I like that offense. I like that offense for the next few years. Plus all the picks you would get from trading the overall number one. That to me is a team that. Could that team win a Super Bowl within 3 years? I think it could, with Ryan Poles leading him. Yes. I think it could. Now, if you're going to trade, if your option two is we're going to go with a rookie quarterback, have DJ Moore and not Marvin Harrison Jr., can that team win a Super Bowl in 3 years? I don't think so.
I thought we were getting to the last part.
What's the last part?
Where if they decide to move on from Fields, they have to fire Ryan Poles.
Oh, well, I've made that point on this podcast.
Yeah, before. I know. Yeah, I still understand that point though.
Well, that's the point is
he's tied to the quarterback he didn't draft.
Yes, because look at it. Let me phrase it this way. Those are two choices, right, that I just outlaid. Stick with Fields, trade the overall pick, get a haul, draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay, that's option one. Option two, you trade Fields, you get a rookie quarterback, number one. You have DJ Moore. You probably don't have Marvin Harrison Jr. So it really depends on your opinion of Pulse. If you think that if you give him another 3 years, he can get you a Super Bowl with a rookie QB. I don't, but if you think that, then he's your guy. I think with Justin, DJ, and Marvin Harrison Jr., it's very possible he can get you that Super Bowl.
No, I get that. But that
– yeah, that's what
there's another guy you have to have an opinion on, and that's Justin Fields.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Right.
Because there's – this is not a binary decision. You know, these there are multiple things to factor into this. If they look at him and they're like, you know, he's it's just not that good, then your decision it doesn't matter if you tie him to Marvin Harrison Jr. then.
Yeah, but I don't think the data supports that he's not that good. I mean, they showed up that graphic that we've seen, like his first 17 games, his last 17 games, you see the huge improvement. He's got all the skills. I mean, he's got the arm strength. He's right. He's got the speed. He's got the build for it.
I want him to be good. I think that's I like
I just,
him.
You know,
but I don't. It.
I just kind of like. I kind of feel like. What do people want? I mean, he's played.
I think you
want
to see him. I think you want when they play a decent defense. I think you want to see him not do what he did against the Vikings and the Browns. I think that's what you want to see.
Well, yeah. Okay, the Browns. Tanya catches that ball.
But that all you're talking about there are you're just talking about basic numbers then. You're talking about adding, you know, yeah, you could add it's 60 yards on his thing, which is 60 yards. That's great. But it doesn't make up for just kind of blind passes to nowhere and it's
he's not perfect. Yeah. He's absolutely
right.
Not.
And
not
that's what I'm saying. That this assumption then that okay, well, Justin's good. And it's just he's being held back by this. The best thing he's got going for right now is Luke Getsy, because everybody in town just wants to blame everything on Luke.
Right.
So it's never his fault. It's always Luke Getsy's fault. But once they correct that, then that'll be fine. And that may absolutely be true. It could be.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is there has to be an evaluation. I think that.
Certainly. No, we agree.
I would say this. If they don't get the first or second pick, then I don't think you have any decision to make at all. Justin Fields is your quarterback. Because. Right. You can't upgrade. And you have to feel like either Caleb Williams or Drake May is an upgrade. If you do, then that's a possibility. But if you can't pick either one of those guys, then you don't have a decision to make.
100%.
But here's where it gets tricky for the Bears. And that's Justin is coming to the end of being inexpensive. Like right now, this is fine. You can roll with him. Next year, he's going to make $6 million. And that's fine. But you're going to have to make a decision next year whether you all of a sudden want to start paying him like $35 or $40 million a year, which is what you would have to pay to keep him. And then that's a whole different ballgame because then all of a sudden he's eating up a huge chunk of your cap and he has to be really good or you're screwed. So that's really where the evaluation is. Now, in a perfect world for the Bears, they'd get the first pick and they would trade that first pick. And then, because that would give them a first again next year, and you trade it to a team that's probably going to be bad, so you have a rookie quarterback, and maybe you get another crack at it. The issue with that is, like last year, where there wasn't a top tier quarterback prospect coming out, there likely isn't one again next year. So you may
this
be
is,
like,
this year's a deeper quarterback draft. This year's a deeper quarterback draft. Yeah.
So the timing isn't great for you. Because you may say, all right, you hold it again, and then you're like, oh, you know what? Justin's not as good as we thought. Well, we'll pick one of these guys. And you end up with whoever the 2024 version of J.J. McCarthy is. Such a great quarterback. He threw eight times in a game in the Big Ten or somebody like that.
Right.
So that's another thing they have to factor into it is the opportunity is not the same every year. That will fluctuate.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And if – this is why where they fucked this up was before Poles and Flus even got there. It's that it's biting them in the ass again. It's the wasted first
still
season.
Having Pace and Nagy. Yeah.
Because, you know, now it's, you know, Justin he's played the equivalent of two full seasons, but a bunch of still there's too many of those games are still Matt Nagy games.
Right.
He's also a guy who did not play a lot of games in college. You know, he didn't play. He was a mop up guy that, if you look at it, the number of games he played in college, it looks like he played like 10 games for Georgia one year, but he didn't. He only threw like 40 passes or whatever. He played a full season as a sophomore at Ohio State, and then he played the COVID year where he only played 8 games as a junior. So there's another thing. I mean, he had such a herky-jerky start to, you know, his sophomore year and I guess his freshman year in college. He's a backup. He gets to play every – finally goes to Ohio State. He gets to play. Then season short the next year. Then he gets drafted by the Bears. Wastes an entire year dicking around with Matt Nagy. Last year, he gets to play, but the Bears are completely rebuilding. And then this is like the first year that he's in an offense where the offense is actually designed for him and they tried to get weapons for him. And it makes another data point that it's hard to, you know, that's the thing I can never get my arms around is like, how much improvement do we think he still has that there's still in there? It could be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, then you shouldn't even be tempted to move on.
And yeah.
Our only hope is that the actual people who work with him every day feel like they can make a more educated guess. That's why I say I think they've probably already made it. I don't think it's not like we got to wait for the stats for the last 3 games, right? Like if that's the case, then they're complete morons. You know, you've seen how he works, you know how the offense, you know what the limitations of the offense are. And you also know what limitations he brings to the offense, because it goes both ways. There are things this offense doesn't do very well. There's obviously every quarterback, there's things that they don't do well. How does that all like mesh together, if it meshes together at all? So we'll see. I think if they end up with the third pick, then we don't have to worry about any of this.
Yeah, and that process you just mentioned gets even more complicated because Flus most likely is not going to be here next year. So you want your head coach being able to say, okay, I work with Justin, you know, here's what I think he can do in my offense. Here's what he can't do. Well it ain't going to be your offense. You're going to be gone. So yeah, their timing is really bad.
Well, and I would guess, I think no matter if the Flus comes back or not, I can't imagine that they're bringing Getsy back.
Oh God.
No shot.
Now the good thing about this is that one of the wise decisions that they made, at least I think they made it for this reason, was they wanted to get somebody from that, like, from the Shanahan, McVay, whatever the
trade
guy's name is up there.
Yeah.
So that when they, but they did it for an opposite reason. Everybody was telling them, this Luke Getsy's going to be a head coach someday. So their whole idea was, we'll bring Getsy in. He'll be here for a year or two. He'll move on. We can go get somebody else from that tree, and the basic offense stays the same.
Right.
The terminology stays the same. The basic play stays. Every new corner is going to change plays. You should have new plays every year anyway. You obviously can't run the same shit all the time. So that will be fine with that. So they could still do that. So it shouldn't be a drastic, like the offense shouldn't just be thrown out. Although it could, I'd throw this offense out. But at least the terminology. You shouldn't have to relearn all the language. It'd be nice to get plays that actually work. That would be good. That should be prerequisite for the new offensive corner.
That would be nice. Yeah. Right. And I think all of us, too, I think, as we've talked about, too, our opinion of Luke Getsy has diminished a little bit now that we got to know Nathaniel Hackett a little bit better. Be like, oh, this guy. Oh, that was all Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, right.
That wasn't much of his coaches.
Yeah, we suspected that it was mostly which LaFleur is up there.
It's Matt LaFleur, right? It's not like he's making any
his
friends
brother
up there
is
either.
The one that floats around as an offensive coordinator. So that was an Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur production. That was not a Nathaniel Hackett, Luke Getsy production.
Not at all.
And then you have to factor in what can you get for Justin? If you're going to trade, if you decide that's what you're going to do, what are you going to get for him? The comp I saw was that, Sam Darnold, when he got traded from the Jets to the Panthers, got a second and a fourth. And this person was thinking, Justin is better, so Justin's probably worth a second and a third. So that's what you would get. So you would take a quarterback at one, and you would immediately recoup a two and a three plus wherever your pick is, which could be anywhere from fifth to ninth.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to run all those scenarios and figure out, you know, what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, and
it's an amazing amount of potential change after just 2 years. You may have a new coach and a new quarterback and a new everything, or you may have a new coach and the old quarterback, or you may have, I think the only thing you're not, I don't see
Flew stays
and Justin goes.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Right.
I think only way Flew stays is if Justin stays.
Right.
Justin can stay without Eberflus, but I don't think Eberflus can stay without Justin.
Right. Right. The two most likely scenarios are no Flus, Justin stays, or no Flus, Justin goes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, fortunately, there's no team, I think we can all agree, with a history of better quarterback evaluation and development than the Chicago Bears.
And head coach evaluations. So they're guaranteed to get this right.
Yeah.
They're going to do a great job, whatever it is.
And general manager freedom to hire the head coach.
Having a general manager. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Going back to the Mark
Like the
Hammond
first 80 years, we don't need one of those. Oh, we had Jim Fink for 8 years, and that's enough of that shit. We won't hire another one until. It's just. I don't know why we root for this team.
Well, we don't have a choice. We're born into it. Yeah. Oh, it's a huge, obviously a huge gamble because, you know, nobody knows anything. I mean, for every CJ Stroud, there's a Bryce Young. For every Patrick Mahomes, there's a Mitch Trubisky. For every Kyler Murray, there's a Kyler Murray. You know?
Yeah.
He like was really good, and now people think he kind of sucks. So, like, so who the hell knows? I mean, it's such a crapshoot. Yeah.
No, I would say that in typical Bear luck, what will happen is they'll stick with Justin and he will get good, and then just about the time they're ready to go, because he's a running quarterback, he will have some horribly traumatic injury, and it'll be the Derrick Rose. Oh, what could have been.
Yeah,
that's probably, you know what, you may have hit on something there. Yeah.
I do think that has to factor into their evaluation. About, you have to think long term with him too.
Sure.
Like, is a guy who runs around like this, and he needs to because that's part of what makes him good. How much does that shorten
his career?
Know, the guy. One thing you can't do apparently is no one can be compared to Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar just seems to defy everything. Although he gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets hurt. The best chance the Ravens had to win the Super Bowl during this run, he got hurt. So I guess you have to figure that in too. It's just, can you win with that, the style of play that maximizes their skills?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or are you just asking for it? Because quarterbacks get hurt regardless.
I mean, there's so few, no doubt, great quarterbacks in the NFL, though. I mean, just about every team. Like, I'm sure, you know, Green Bay, it's Jordan Love, the guy. You know, I don't know. I mean, what are the Vikings going to do?
The thing I enjoy about Jordan Love is, so far in his one-season career, he's either great or he's terrible.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Like, within back-to-back weeks, you're like, oh, there we go. And then, oh, no.
Oh no!
He's bad.
Right. Hey, the Packers wanted to draft Rex Grossman in 2003, and now they got him.
Yeah, they got him.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and
you
don't
get the
you
full
know,
Rex though, because his hands are too big and he's too tall. Because what you really want is the little where you have to like pat the ball and like jump up and down in the pocket to try to see over the line. That's the ultimate Rex.
Right. Right.
When Kirk Cousins was on the Manning cast the other day, he actually talked about Rex, which I thought was funny. He was talking about when he got drafted to Washington. He was pissed that he got drafted to Washington because they had picked RG3 in the first round. And he's like, I'm getting drafted to be a backup. You know, what the hell? You know, I'm going to be behind this guy forever. He's like, I didn't know he was going to get hurt and I was going to end up being the starter. I thought I was, you know. But then his dad apparently told him, he's like, you know, Mike Shanahan coaches this team. So at the very least, you're going to learn how to be an NFL quarterback, and you may end up going playing somewhere else, but this is what you're going to do. And he said when he got there, Rex was still on the roster, which I didn't know. But He said after just a few practices, you know, of because their coaching staff was like Sean McVay was there, Mike McDaniels was there, and it was all these future like
LaFleur, I think, yeah. was there too. Yeah.
Rex said to him, and maybe him and RG3 both, but he said it in the room, he's like, our coaching staff, he goes, this isn't a thing. Like, we're basically getting like a master's degree education in how to play quarterback. And if you can't figure it out from this, you're never going to figure it out. Which I think is probably how Justin feels with Luke Getsy and Andrew Janico or whoever it is.
Yeah.
Just the brains right. in that room. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys see the shocking news today that even though Aaron Rodgers is so much feels great, he's not gonna come back and play.
Not gonna push it.
Oh, really?
What a shame.
And you're shocked by this, I know.
Jesus. That whole fucking charade. That, oh, I could be back, and I might, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay.
What a surprise that he officially makes that announcement the day after the Jets are officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Well, they have to either put him back on IR or activate him tomorrow because it's 4 weeks. So they basically had to decide mm-hmm. today or tomorrow.
Gotcha.
And they, yeah. yeah. But, yeah, he's just going to use cover. Well, if we were in the playoff hunt, of course I'd be back. He did say that he wants to play 2 more years, though. Because he feels like he owes the Jets 2 years, and he's going to play 2 more years now.
Mm. So okay. He's going to play the second year, the third year for free, or is he going to expect to be paid?
Didn't they tack it on? Didn't he do it? Like he had an extra year to make the salary cap hit go down. I think he's got a contract. Although I'm sure he's going to want to renegotiate that puppy.
What the heck?
Need more money.
Yeah. Now they're talking about Robert Saleh, my kid. Can for that job.
Oh, apparently Rodgers vouched for him today.
Oh, he did? Oh, yep. I didn't see that. Okay.
Said, oh, dude, great job. Stupid to get rid of him. Also, you'd be happy to know who else he vouched for.
Nathaniel Hackett.
There you go. Well, perfect. Well, you know what? Let Aaron keep making those decisions. That's great.
Yeah, he's clearly he'd be a great general manager.
Oh, boy, would he ever.
So the Bears this week play the Arizona Cardinals, their former city mates.
Yes.
Yes. They played at Comiskey while the Bears played at Wrigley.
Then they played a year in Minneapolis while their stadium was being built in St. Louis. We learned that during Remember This Crap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's
– Look at that.
Yeah, then Minneapolis used that to convince the NFL that – Hey,
we can do it.
And Praz, you know, I'm sure from listening to Remember This Crap, why the Cardinals wear red and white.
From University of Chicago, and then Bears are blue and orange from University of Illinois.
Yeah, because that's what a big deal pro football was back in the days. They were going to universities and asking if they could have their old uniforms.
That's right.
Well, the Packers back in the day had, like, kind of similar to Notre Dame colors, because isn't that where Lombardi went to? Although that may have been way before that, but still.
Yeah, it's funny. It took them a few years to figure out that since they're in Green Bay, they probably should have green in the uniform.
Right.
Yeah, they were blue and gold. And awful-looking throwback uniform that's blue and gold that they – break out once in a while. It's embarrassing.
I kind of like those, honestly.
Oh, you do?
I hate admitting it, but
with the helmets are yellow, right? Don't they have like a blue dot on them or something? I forget what
it's like solid navy blue, and then the number is like it's yellow, but it's like the FedEx logo where it's like there and it's not there, kind of.
Yeah.
Like it's blank space.
Aren't the shoulders yellow too? Isn't there like a blue jersey and then the shoulders are? I'm pointing because no one can see me but the two mics. But if this were a video podcast, you would see that I was pointing at the shoulders of my shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not a big – well, I hate anything Green Bay sucks. So even if they had cool uniforms, I would admit it. But they don't. They have the old Edmonton Eskimos jerseys. That's what they wear. for regular uniforms. And George's G for some reason. But other than that, great.
That's terrific.
Everything's so unique up there. It's wonderful. but the Bears are playing the Cardinals. Cardinals are, 3-10? 3-11 now? How many weeks we got? We only got 10. We have 3 weeks left.
Right.
3-11 then.
Yeah. 3 left.
So they're within range of getting the number one pick.
Right.
But that clutch win over the Steelers, thanks to Mitch, gave a nice amount of breathing room, because they still are the team that the Panthers would have to have a better record than. So the Panthers would have to win 2 of the last 3, and the Cardinals have to lose out for the Cardinals to end up ahead of the Panthers, thus the Bears, because they own their pick.
Right.
Kyler's been back, and he played really well in his first game, and they won it. And then he was limping around last week, so I don't know how healthy he is. But how about this? This is Christmas Eve at beautiful Soldiers Field. It's a 3:25 kickoff.
Ooh.
So wow. You would expect that if you're doing the afternoon game, good announcers, right?
Yeah. Detail.
Yeah. How much did you enjoy Kevin Kugler and Mark Sanchez?
Oh, no.
I didn't hate Mark Sanchez. I didn't hate him. That's what we got him. Get him again.
Yeah, Sanchez is fine. He's kind of like Tony Romo-esque in the laughing.
Yeah, kind of.
This is great. But what's with the hair? Did you see? They only showed him a couple of times.
He's got
quite the flow. I mean, he's a handsome man. But I don't know why he needs, it's gone a little nuts there, Mark.
A flowing mane. Yeah.
And he doesn't talk enough about all the time he's spent playing for the Bears.
No, he certainly doesn't.
That one preseason that he was on the roster and then was inactive for, he was basically he got paid to be a quarterback coach for Mitch.
Right.
2016 he was here or 2017?
Good job.
I think it was 17, right? I think it was Nagy's first year.
Okay.
No. Nagy was 18, right?
Nagy's first year was 18. Fox was last year.
I think Sanchez 17. Might have been. I think
it was definitely one of the John Fox years.
He was there with Fox?
I feel like it. I'm not sure, but.
All right, look it up.
Here's a picture of him in a Bear uniform. He never actually played in the game.
Let's see.
Well, it could be 17. You could be right, because he didn't play in 17.
On March 23rd, 2017, Sanchez signed a 1-year contract.
Ah, so it was a Fox. It was, oh boy. That's why he doesn't talk about it. His Pro Football Reference headshot is as a Bear. It'd be a little confusing to people. Like, wait a minute, what? He never played for them. We get him, and we get Laura Oakman, too. I felt like Laura Oakman let Cairo down.
Mm.
She's down there. She's in the elements. She knows. Right. She knows there's a weird wind going around the stadium. Didn't bring it up, and it makes it sound like they're just afraid to let Cairo kick a 55 or a 58-yard field goal. Both times they were heading in the direction, and I had to figure out how the wind was blowing based on our good friend. What is his name? Trent Taylor. Little Keith Ortigo.
The
2 punts. Both of them going in that direction. And that's what happens if the wind is behind you, you think you're camped under the ball and it starts to carry it away from you and you end up chasing after it and dropped it. So, because some fans were all pissed off about it. Oh, the Floozy passed up on 2 field goals. I'm like, look, I love Cairo. I would have had him kick either one of those.
Wow! Even in the first half,
that one to me felt like it's going to get the Bears. They block; they get his extra points blocked once in a while. To me, that felt like a game you're winning, and the Browns are doing nothing on offense. They're going to block a fucking field goal and run it back for a touchdown, and they're going to be like, "Oops."
We have such high expectations for our Bears.
So I was with the Floos on that. I was with the Floos on that. I thought that fourth down play was a really good play. To me, that's the kind of shit they should do on fourth down. And it
didn't
work, and now they'll never run it again.
Right.
And it didn't work for two reasons. It didn't work because Darnell didn't block anybody, and then it didn't work because Justin, the guy who's super hard to tackle, the guy touches his shoestrings and he falls down. It's like, shit.
I know. Too, and he stumbled. Really,
then it was this torture, the stumbling towards the first down mark. It looked like he was still going to get there, and then he didn't.
Yeah.
Reaching out with it, too.
I know.
Just came up short.
That's why I said sometimes you get rewarded. Sometimes you do the right thing, and the wrong thing happens. And that's happened there. And then sometimes you do the wrong thing, and all hell breaks loose. And that's what happened when you just – let's just blitz everybody. The Flus, who wouldn't blitz. Remember last year? I was like, why wouldn't he blitz?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't calling the plays last year. Maybe, maybe Alan Williams was overruling him all the time. No, actually, no. He did not have it kind of like Lovey. Well, he's running Lovey's defense. Just whatever, you know. Ideally, in this Tampa 2, you don't blitz that much. Because the defense is designed to take away the parts of the field you want to take away. But when you can't generate a consistent pass rush, you have to do it. And now I think they're getting pass rush crazy. Because they're rushing the quarterback all the time. So the Flus is just getting greedy.
It's like, we'll get the Flus. The greedy Flus.
There was and we didn't talk about the fact that the first touchdown drive the Browns had, there were three reasons that should have never been a touchdown. They had on a third down, they had a delay game that didn't get called.
Oh, yeah.
On a fourth down, they went for it, and clearly that guy held. I mean, he's got it by the shirt, and they didn't call that. And then Njoku, they're like, he drug his toe. No, he didn't. That foot came straight down out of bounds. That's incomplete. It was a great catch. It would have been nice if Juwan would have turned around at some point. When you've got the guy pushed all the way to the end zone, couldn't you then turn around and look for the ball? Because where's he going? But that was a great catch. He just went up and like plucked it right over him, but he didn't. He was out of bounds.
I feel like I saw the ball bobble a little bit while he was bringing his foot down. But
I'll go for that, too.
Yeah.
They're out to get us. you know what? Because of all that, I think Flu should come back. It's clear.
Oh, there you go.
It's a conspiracy. He's doing a great job. The NFL is so worried about him building a dynasty in Chicago that they're trying to like strangle it in the cradle.
Right? See,
we got to snuff this out right now. We're going to have another Belichick on our hands. We don't want
never call late hits. That's why Fields never gets those late hits called against them.
That was the other thing. On the first Hail Mary, that's a late hit. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Yep.
And then Kyrie does come out and kick the field goal.
Yeah, would have been an untimed down.
And who was it? It was Adam Hogue, because he said that Flus was yelling at the refs. It's about time. He has this theory that the reason Justin gets all these late hits is because the Bears don't stand up for him enough. Like, do you honestly think they don't send the fucking some poor little intern every Monday has to go through and like clip all the times Justin gets hit when he's sliding, and they send that shit to Roger Goodell? I guarantee you that happens every week.
Sure.
I mean, I like Hogue, but sometimes, I mean, my favorite thing though is he'll be on when they do like an instant reaction podcast. He'll be talking about stuff. Well, I don't know. I'll know better when I grade the film. It's like, all right, how useful is it to grade a film when you don't know what people's assignments were on the plays? Well, clearly Mr. Black there. Who is he supposed to block? I don't know, but it looks like he probably missed that. So I'm going to give him a negative grade for that. And I'm going to do this. Just, you know what, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. Bears Cardinals.
Yep.
3:25. Just about the time you're sitting down for Christmas Eve dinner with the family.
Yep.
You can put the set right there on the table.
Yeah.
The Bears will help your digestion. What do you think the spread is?
Bears at home, two bad teams. Give me I probably a low spread. I'll say Cardinals minus 1.5.
You got the Cardinals favored?
Wow.
Cardinals favored.
All right.
Ooh, say Bears minus 2.5.
Bears minus 4.
Oh!
Wow.
And the over-under, 44.5. Looking for a shootout on the lakefront.
Supposed to be good weather?
It's supposed to be, yeah. It's supposed to be in the 50s, I believe.
Yeah, flying
50s, but like cloudy and...
Well, that's, you know, in the winter, typically, your milder days are cloudy. Traps the heat.
That's right. Excess of blanket.
Yes. That's from a guy who lived in Traverse City, Michigan. And it's mild out. It's mild winters up there, and the fucking sun hardly ever shines. People go nuts up there because of it. There's a Coast Guard station up there, and so people are when they're serving up there, their families are coming from all over. And the place I worked, we got to know the guy who's like the psychologist for the Coast Guard station. Oh
yeah.
Oh, we're talking lots of people out. Stories. Yeah, a lot of thoughts of suicide because the sun did not appear for weeks at a time. Yeah. So there you go. There's your meteorological lesson for the day.
There you go.
Thank you, Tom Skilling.
But no white Christmas for you. 49. Light breeze and no rain.
No, perfect.
Cardinals are going to love that. All right. Well, who you got?
I gave the prediction that I thought the Cardinals would be favored, and they're not, but I think I'll take them to cover and win. Although, you know, never mind. As I say that, this feels like it could be a spot where the Bears, you know, everything's lost and they just find a way to win because it's convenient for them to play like that. Yeah, screw it. I'll say, you know what? I'll say Cardinals cover, Bears win by a field goal.
All right. Who's Terry?
Well, everybody knows that when you're trying to get your fourth win of the season in mid-December, that's a classic trap game. So I got the Bears. I'm going to have the Bears by 6. How about that?
Bears big.
Big Bears.
Bye. If that spread was 10, it wouldn't be enough.
Oh, my.
But isn't that how they win? Like,
kind of, yeah.
They get a bit. Apparently, they get a lead in every game, and it's whether or not they're just going to hand it away or not at the end.
Right.
Good point.
Because it's funny. They have the only game. I was thinking about this. So they've lost 3 games, actually 4, I think, but 3 games that they clearly should have won. I think they've only won 1 game that they probably should have lost. And that was the Minnesota game in Minnesota where they blew it. Minnesota, they should have won it, and then they blew it, but then they came back and they kicked the field goal to win it.
Right.
So, the Bears, this is not a 5-win football team. They're better than a 5-win football
team. They're better than that.
They're maybe a 6-win football team.
This is sounding very reminiscent of how Fork described Leo DeRocher when joining the Cubs.
Oh, that was
they're not an 8th place team.
That was his famous
quote. They're a 10th place team.
The Cubs are not an 8th place team, and then they went out and they finished 10th. So he was right. Way to go, Leo.
Frank. Yep.
All right. Well,
there we go.
Thanks, guys. We will. At least 2 of us will be back next week to.
That's right.
To break it all down.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. I mean, got to congratulate the Dolan family.
I don't know. What's up yours?